Ezekiel chapter 23, verses 31 to 32, we'll read. Ezekiel 23, verses 31 and 32. Thou hast walked in the way of thy sister, therefore will I give her cup into thine hand. Thus saith the Lord God, thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup, deep and large. Thou shalt be laughed to scorn and had in derision. It containeth much. The Bible encourages us to be converted. The Bible encourages all sinners to be converted. And it sets forth incentives to come to Christ the Saviour. And sometimes the Bible speaks in a winsome way. It speaks in a way that has bright promises. It speaks in a way that has hearty invitations. And the Bible says things like, come, for all things are ready. It encourages sinners to come. But the Bible also works in another way. It solemnly warns sinners too to be converted. Sometimes the winsome ways of invitation are not sufficient. And thus the Bible sometimes set forth the warnings, terrible warnings, warnings of wrath and judgment to come. And so the pulpit, following the Bible, has to give the positive entreaty at times to call to conversion, but also at times it has to give a solemn warning note. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to give a solemn warning note. For I want to talk about the sinner's cup. The sinner's cup. These are very solemn verses. Thus saith the Lord God, thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup, deep and large. It containeth much. Now, we didn't read all of Ezekiel chapter 23, but in this chapter there are two women, images of two women, two sisters in actual fact, but they're not very nice women. They're abandoned women. They're defiled women. And those women represent two nations, the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel. And so Judah is being addressed in our text. You remember that the kingdom of Israel was divided into two after Solomon's death, and the 10 tribes went with Israel, and two of the tribes stayed with Judah. And whenever Ezekiel writes his book, Israel has already been taken away into captivity. It's already been judged. It's been destroyed. It's been ruined. And is no more. It has experienced God's judgment. But one sister remains, Judah. And here God promises Judah something similar to that which Israel has experienced. You will drink of your sister's cup, deep and large. It containeth much. The sinner's cup. Now, the cup in the Bible, as an image, can signify two things. It can signify blessing. It can signify blessedness. It can signify something positive, something good and wonderful, something that you would want to drink. The cup of blessing, the cup of salvation. We often sing Psalm 23 and we read there of such a cup. My cup runneth over. That's the believer's cup. A wonderful cup. But also the cup can signify cursing. Just like the cup can signify blessing, full of blessing. So sometimes in the Bible there is the image of a cup containing quite the opposite. Cursing. Judgment. And I'm speaking tonight about the cup of wrath, the bitter cup. And it is referred to in very many places in the Bible. For example, in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, we read there that great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So here's a cup of the fierceness of his wrath. And we read Psalm 11. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Fire and brimstone and horrible tempest in this cup. And that's the cup that we're speaking about tonight. That's clearly the cup that is in our text. The cup that is threatened upon Judah. The cup that God is going to put into her hand if she doesn't repent. And so I want to speak about the sinner's cup. I want to notice two things about the sinner's cup. I want to notice, first of all, the description of it. And then I want to think with you about the drinking of it. And so the description of the sinner's cup. Now, the particular word for cup here is used three or four times in this chapter, between 31 and verses 33. And it's a large vessel. It's not a small cup. It's a large vessel, deep and large, that retains much fluid. It's a huge cup. We're looking at the description of it, this judgment cup which God is going to give to Judah. It's described here in our text as deep. Deep gives the idea of unsearchable. Deep gives the idea of depth, reaching down to the bottom. But it's not only deep, it's large. And that causes us to think of its breadth. It's deep and wide. You know the chorus, deep and wide is God's love. Well, this cup is like that. It's deep and it's large. It's wide. It's a vast cup. It's a terrible cup. It's full of these awful contents. It's not empty, you see, because the text says it containeth much. There's much in it. And so it's not yet full, that's true. The text doesn't say it's full. When it's full, it's too late. But it contains much. It contains much. And sinner, you need to know that this cup, God will give it to you if in your impenitent state, if you die impenitent and rejecting Christ, you're in danger of receiving this cup. And I want you to know tonight it containeth much, deep and large. Containing much. And what does it contain? Well, perhaps we should think about that. Many ingredients containeth much. There's much in it. And so let's think just for a few moments of what's the ingredients of the sinner's cup. Well, for the start, it contains all the sins that we've ever committed. They do not disappear unless the blood of Christ washes them away. They do not disappear. They're laid up in store for the judgment day, and this cup contains them. From the day that you were born, sinner, until now, you and I have walked, as it were, in the whole journey of life, and in the ways that you have walked have been the ways of sin, and it's all laid up in this cup. It containeth much. It containeth your sins. You're going to have to drink them again. You're going to have to reap what you sowed. Containeth much. The cup, the sinner's cup. As far as our sins are concerned, they're many. Remember how the psalmist said, "O Lord, pardon my sins, for they're great and they're many." And yes, our sins are many. And this cup contains many. Contains much. Many of our sins. Sins of thought. Sins of our mouth. Sins of our actions and our deeds, sins of commission, sins of omission, the things that we have not done that we ought to have done. Our sins are many, they're abundant, and they're all stored up to be received in, again in the punishment of them. And that's what's in the cup. You remember how in the Word of God the Lord says, concerning the wicked, their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? God is saying there are the sins of the wicked, their wine, the poison and the cruelty that come out of them like the venom of ass. He said it, their wine, he says it, their wine is laid up in store by me. It's among my sealed treasures. It's kept and it's stored and it's going to come out. It's in the cup. Cup is filled. Cup is filled. And sinner, I have to say, when your days, when the measure of your days are ended, and if your sins have not been forgiven, this cup is filled. When it reaches its uttermost, when it reaches its uttermost, and the sinner is made to drink of the depths of his sinfulness, if sinners could only see what's lying ahead for them, they would flee to Christ. They would want to get the contents of this cup dealt with. They're going to have to face, you're going to have to face your sins. They're in the cup that God will give to you if you die Christless. And of course, there's not only sins, that's not the only ingredient in the cup. There's all the curses of God's law against our sins. There's the curses of law breaking. For every sin, you see, every sin has an other ingredient. The soul that sinneth it shall die. And with the breaking of the law, sin, there comes a curse. Every sin has a curse. If you only offend if there's only one sin, you're under the curse of the law. Just one sin, and many sins are under many curses. And in every sin is mixed with this ingredient, the curses of a broken law. And the cup is containing much, is deep and large, and it contains the curses of God against you. It shall come to pass, God says, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to do and observe all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, then all of these curses shall overtake thee, and you'll be having to drink the curses of God. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee. They shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And there are all these terrible denunciations of God's law against us for our breaking his commandments and for our sins, the curse of God. And so you see, the law declares our guilt, doesn't it? And so there's death in the pot, as I said to the prophet, and there's death in this cup. Death, sins, and the sins bring death. And you have to drink it. You have to drink it. It'll be put into your hand. Unless there's a way, unless you find salvation in Jesus Christ, there's the curses of the law. And there's a further ingredient, of course, accompanying that. There's the wrath of God, the judgment of God. Into it is poured the wine. What did we read in Revelation? The wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The wrath against sin. It's in the cup. It containeth much. And so God pours into it his indignation against sin, his holy response to sin where he finds sin. His wrath and indignation follows. This is his response to the denunciations of the law. When the law pronounces curse, he himself must come and follow that law and send his wrath and indignation upon the sinner. His holiness and his justice requires it. So these three ingredients are in the cup. They're inseparable. Your sins and the curse of the law and the divine indignation. It's a terrible cup. Oh, it's a terrible cup. It containeth much. It contains so much, you can't drink it in one day. You drink it for all eternity. Forever and ever. Ever and ever you sip from it. In the Christless hell of eternity, ever and ever, through the eons of time, drinking and sipping from the cup, and it still containeth much. It still containeth much throughout all of eternity. Oh, it's a fearful cup. It's a terrible cup. Forever and ever. Forever and ever. It's never exhausted. Forever and ever. Such is the wickedness of sin. Such is the great offence against the holy God. It containeth much. The description of it, deep and large, containing much. But I want you to notice the drinking of the sinner's cup. Because what does our text say? Thou shalt drink. Thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup, deep and large. It containeth much. Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and desolation. The abandoned sinner, the unconverted sinner, the impenitent sinner, the sinner who dies without Christ, without forgiveness, without the contents of this cup having been drunk by a substitute, the sinner who dies Christless. Oh, it's an awful cup. But the Lord says, thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup. And so it's true of every sinner. The Lord says, you've walked in the way of your sister. Verse 31, thou hast walked in the way of thy sister. Therefore will I give her cup into thine hand. Notice that word, therefore. There's a reason for the cup. There's a reason why the sinner receives a cup. It's a just reason. You've walked in the way of your sister. You've walked in the ways of ungodliness. You've walked in the ways of the desecration of the commandments of God. Therefore, I will give her cup into thine hand. And then in verse 35, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back. There's a reason for the cup. You've put God behind your back. You've lived without him. You have had no regard for him. You've forgotten him. Therefore, I'll put the cup into your hand. Does this not cause you to fear, unconverted sinner? Maybe you've sat under the gospel here for years. Maybe decades. I don't know. But you need to see this cup. I'll put it into your hand, God says. You're going to drink it one day. I'll make you drink it. And is there no fear? Is there no concern? Is there no terror? Are you not terrified of this cup? Well, should be. It should send trembles even down the spines of God's people. And so it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I will give. God will do it himself. It's not the church will do it. It's not the preacher. It's no man or no angel will do it. God says, I'll make her drink. I'll put it in her hand myself. I will give. God will do it. God will do it into thine hand. And you'll not be able to refuse it. And you'll not be able to drop it. God will put it into your hand. And if he puts it into your hand, it'll stay there. And it'll have to be drunken. You'll have to drink it. It's a fearful thing. There's no avoiding it. Deep and large, it contains much. And the terrible effects of it are described in verse 33. Astonishment and desolation and sorrow. It's terrible. And so there's a drinking of it. So the sinner, unconverted sinners need to know that this is real. And the sinner needs to be concerned about it. And I want you to be concerned about it. So that's why I'm preaching this tonight. That you be concerned. That you be concerned to ask a question. Is there any hope? Do I have to drink this cup? Is there any way it can be avoided? Is there any way I can escape this cup? Can its dregs be poured out somewhere else? Can I flee from the wrath to come? Can this cup pass from me? Can it pass from me? And that's where the gospel comes in. That's where salvation comes in. That's where Jesus Christ comes in. You see, you can't save yourself, and you can't drink this cup yourself, and you just can't pass it by yourself. No, a Savior has to come, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. But you ask, well, how did he deal with the cup? How did he deal with this contents? You know, whenever the Lord Jesus was in Gethsemane, you know what he prayed? Because he saw this cup, the cup that contained all my sins and all the sins of his people and all the curses of a broken law and all the wrath and indignation of his holy Father. And in his spotless humanity, he saw that cup. And you know what he prayed? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let it pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. And then he was in the garden and all the guards came. And Peter took his sword out and he was going to deliver Jesus from the cross and from Calvary. And Jesus said, put away your sword, Peter. The cup which my Father gave me, shall I not drink it? He's going to drink it, this cup. In the Father's will, he's going to drink it. And men and women, that's the gospel. The Savior drinks it. And he drinks it for his people. And he drinks it for those sinners who believe and trust in him. He says, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? He says. He's going to drink it. Let these go their way. Let these go their way. Take me. I'm the one to drink the cup. And so the Lord Jesus drank the cup. And that's the mystery of Calvary. All the curses, all the indignation. That's why he said, I thirst. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, it's the cup. It's the cup. And you know, he could drink it all up in that short stay that he was on the cross, 6 hours or so. He drank it all up. And he could drink it all up in a short period of time because he's the Son of God. And in drinking it up, he never sinned once. He gulped it all down. In the mystery of Calvary, in the mystery of the cross, in the atonement and the sacrifice of his body and his blood, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He took my cup and he drank it all up. He drank it all up. And that is our only hope. That is our only salvation. He drank it all up. And so you see, sinner, for those who are in him, who believe in him, who are joined to him, who are his people, he has drunken up the dregs of that cup. He didn't deserve to drink it, but he willingly drank it that we might be saved. And he gave us another cup. Well, not another cup, but other contents in the same cup. Salvation. The wine of the forgiveness of sins. The wine of the richness of his grace. My cup floweth over. He's my shepherd. There's no bitterness and no wrath and no judgment in it. There's just a cup of blessing. Because he drank it all up. What a Savior. What a wonderful Savior. I tell you this. He's a wonderful Savior. Jesus, my Lord. He gave himself for me. The Son of God loved me. And he gave himself for me. He drank it all up. He drank it all up. That's your only hope. We'll sing in a wee moment, O Christ, what burdens bow thy head. Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings draft. for me. Oh, we have salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what the cross is all about. He drank the sinner's cup. Oh, will you not believe in him? Do you not want to get into him, sinner? Oh, you need to want to get into him, to fly to Christ, to be joined to Jesus Christ, to come to Christ, to be in union with him. And knowing in your union with him, by faith in him, that you have salvation and you'll never drink this cup. So do you see why we all need Jesus Christ? And do you see how marvelous his grace and his loving kindness? And do you see how foolish the rejection of him is? And how dangerous? Sinner, you don't want to drink this cup. Don't drink this cup. Believe in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Let us pray. Lord, bless the word and be pleased to use it to the awakening of sinners and the drawing of them to the great and wonderful Saviour, thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.